Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for today's weekly update, which we will cover a couple different subjects, primarily centered around our COVID report. But I first wanted to recognize Dr. Jose Romero, Secretary of Education, being here, as well as Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education. And today we have a special guest, Lori Arnold, of the American Red Cross here in Little Rock. So thank you, Lori, for joining us today. And it's in reference to an important announcement for the public, and that is that the American Red Cross is urging donors of all blood types to donate to help allow the American Red Cross to stock up on blood and increase their inventory. During the pandemic, the donations of blood have decreased by about 10%, and the need has increased, particularly in recent days with hurricanes and other things that have happened. There is a demand there with the supply not being what we want it to be. Another illustration of it is that September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Blood products are essential to the treatment of those with sickle cell disease. And so during this pandemic, the Red Cross has added precautions to ensure the safety of employees, volunteers, and donors. We encourage everybody who is in the position that they can give blood to consider a donation. You can make a donation by making an appointment through the American Red Cross, the Arkansas Blood Institute, or the nearest blood bank. With that, Lori, I wanted to invite you to come up and make comments to emphasize the point.
Thank you, Governor. I just want to start out with saying that every 2 seconds, someone in America will need blood. Almost everyone knows somebody who in their lifetime will need a blood or platelet transfusion. And keep in mind that blood cannot be manufactured in a lab. The only way to get blood products is through the life-giving donation of blood by another person to our patients who are in need of those bloods and depend on that. We recognize that not everybody is able to give blood. In fact, only 38% of the population is eligible to give blood. But what is so striking is that of that 38%, only 10% typically do give blood. So let that sink in just for a second. If 38 people out of 100 are eligible, but only 4 of those people are giving, that's why we have the need we have today. So I just want to encourage everybody who is eligible and who is able to give blood to please not only make an appointment with Red Cross or Arkansas Blood Institute or another blood bank to give blood, but to please make that one of your yearly routines that you do constantly, something that you can do every 56 days, you can go give blood. Every 8 weeks, you're eligible. So I just want to really encourage the people of Arkansas to help our hospitals tackle this critical need for blood.
Thank you, Lori. And with that, let me go to today's case report. If we look at the graphs, first of all, we'll see that our total cases, our new cases, are 1,401. And this contrasts to last week of 1,544 on the same day. Active cases are down 779. And our deaths, regrettably, are up by 17. And we're going to, as you know, I'm breaking these out a little bit smaller so they're easier to see. This is the vaccinations and the doses given. The second line is what I go to quickest, and that's 7,228 doses given. Of that, we've got an additional 4,800 that have been added to the fully immunized list. So we're continuing to make progress there. And then the hospital data, that's good news that we've had 34 fewer hospitalized as a result of COVID, and even better that 11 fewer on ventilators. I know that's, you know, if they don't recover, that's very, very sad news. I hope that those that are off ventilators have recovered from that. If you look at the next one, the new cases, just the leading counties, Benton, Washington, and Craighead counties. I continue to be very pleased with our Department of Corrections that we only have 74 active cases in our Department of Corrections. It shows their procedures are working well. And then the testing, PCR and antigen total about 6,700 cases over the last 24 hours. And then this is something that there's been a lot of questions about, and that is whether there's monoclonal antibody treatment that's available everywhere in the state and whether the supply is sufficient. And so on the left is the counties with no monoclonal antibodies therapy site location. So they're colored here on the left, and there's very few counties that does not have a specific therapy location, but the Department of Health can make sure that treatment is available by making sure they get referred to the correct place. And so you can see the vast majority of counties does actually have a site location for treatment, and that is displayed on the right side with the green dots is everywhere that we have those site locations. And so there is an adequate supply of monoclonal antibodies. We want to make sure that's available when people have a need for it. They want that. We want to make sure it's there. And if anybody has any challenge there, just call the Department of Health. And then I know that every week we come out with a new UAMS projection. That's always helpful to alert people as to what life could be like if we don't take the proper precautions. And so I ask our Department of Health to put together a comparison as to the projections and where we have wound up with our case report. And so the darker orange is the UAMS projection, and you can see the projection that was on August 17th, the projection all the way through September 14th. You can see the line that would go up to 4,500 new cases, and yet you see the jagged line, which is the reality, the actual cases that we've had, and you can see how we've certainly beat that projection. And then if you look at it from a little bit different way, this is August 17th through September 19th, the projection is on the top line, and of course the actual case report is below. And then what it also shows you is the today's projection, I guess September 21 UAMS projection is the white dotted line at the very end. And so this is the nature of modeling and projections, that they will make a projection based upon where you are on this particular date, and then you take the reality of where it is on September 14th, and then you adjust it going forward again. And that's what that white line is, the new adjusted line, and hopefully we can continue to beat those numbers. This is the deaths, and I think this is an important point, that the orange line again is UAMS projection on daily deaths. The jagged line is what we are reporting. And toward the end, you can see that the jagged line goes down, but as we get deaths that are reported in, that line will go up because they're late reporting on the deaths many times. And so the message that I get here is while our cases are lower than the projection, and while the hospitalizations are down, you can see that our deaths are meeting or exceeding actually the projection. And this is troublesome because it shows the seriousness of the virus. The Delta variant is very serious. All right, the next one, this is the average of confirmed and probable cases. You see that our trend line is good, but we're not as where we will be, hopefully, if we keep going down as we were back last March. And then hospitalizations are down, flat right now, but that's better news. The active cases are down, continues to reduce that number. And then this is what I show every week as to those that are fully vaccinated. That represents only 10.5% of the cases. It only represents 8.8% of the hospitalizations and 10.3% of the deaths. So if you're looking at what's the best way to reduce your odds of being infected or a hospitalization or death, obviously vaccination is the smart way to go. And our numbers keep going up with those that are partially or fully vaccinated is now 63% of those that are eligible 12 plus. And so to protect us in the future and keep us going the right direction, we need to continue to not delay in getting the vaccination, to get the vaccination as soon as you possibly can. And this is finally the PCR and antigen test. As I'm always reminded, I set as a goal to be 10% or lower than that. We've been higher than that in our positivity rate for some time, but now our positivity rate is 9.3% of PCR and antigen, which is encouraging. We did get down to 5%, lower than 5% back in April, so we've got some ways to go still. With that, let me invite Dr. Romero for his comments, followed by Secretary Key.
Thank you and good afternoon. So I'm just going to reinforce the vaccination issue with regard to vaccines in children and in adolescents, really. For the age groups 12 to 18, 48.1% of that group has received at least one dose, and 36.6% of the group is fully vaccinated. Adolescents and children still continue to play an active part of the total active cases that we're seeing, making up about 27% of that group at this time, so they're still contributing to it. The cases are decreasing overall over time. Lastly, two things. Pfizer recently announced that they had some results from and have released these publicly about their study for children between the ages of 5 and 11. This is using their vaccine at one-third the dose given to adults. It appears to be extremely promising, eliciting very robust response immunologically in these children. And this data should be submitted soon to the FDA for their review and their ruling on if they decide to go forward with approval. And then lastly, we're coming up to flu season. One of the things we're concerned about is because we had a very mild disease last year and the year before, we did not have a full flu season because of the masking and social distancing, that this year we may see an augmented season. So we are going to, we are pushing out public service messaging, and we want everybody to get their flu vaccine. It's going to be very important this year because we don't want to see a confluence of both influenza hospitalizations and COVID hospitalizations at the same time that could stress our available beds at this time. So I'll stop there, and then I'll turn it over to Secretary Key. Thank you.
We'll report on the numbers that we are seeing in our K-12 public schools. As the trend is with the overall state numbers, we are seeing a decline in the number of active cases. We are down about 500 again this week compared to last Thursday's report. It's very positive news for our school children, for our staff, our faculty at the schools. We've had one district that has reported a modification of their on-site learning in Greenbrier, and it was one elementary school, and it was one grade in one elementary school. So minimal disruption there. I do want to address a question that has arisen in the last few days about the brochure that we issued last year that was the Kids Guide to Coronavirus, and a question was raised about how we address masking in that. And what we have learned in the last couple of days is that the actual final document that went out to children and to the schools clearly said face masks are now recommended as a way of reducing the spread of coronavirus. The addition that we had on the website was an older version, and starting between April when we started the project and August when we distributed these documents or these publications, there were a number of changes in guidance, and we were learning more about the situation. So before the school year began, we landed on masking is a good way to prevent the spread, and that is what was distributed. We have since updated, or in the process of updating, the actual document on our website.
Thank you, Johnny. And let me finally say that in terms of the booster shot that the FDA has tentatively approved for those 65 and above, that we're waiting on the next committee to make a decision on that. So hopefully there will be a clarity on that late this week or early next week. Dr. Romero is monitoring that very closely, but everybody who is in that category and eligible, they just need to be patient for that booster shot until we have the right authorities for that. With that, we'd be happy to take any questions.
So it's great that we're seeing cases go down and that the numbers are actually lower than what UAMS is predicting or projecting, but are you worried at all? I know you spoke about at-home tests becoming more popular. Are you worried there's still a lot of cases, we just don't know about them, or do you think that's lesser?
Certainly. That is a part of the equation and part of what we don't know, but we have to compare apples to apples, and so whenever, you know, we look at the new cases at a particular period of time and you say this is what the new cases reported could be here that we know about, we're beating that projection. The hardcore best variable is hospitalizations. That's something that measures everyone's positivity, and we still see the hospitalizations going down. So I think clearly the trend is true whether you look at hospitalizations or whether you look at the new cases reported.
Monoclonal antibodies. Seems like maybe some other states are having problems with the supply. Is there a reason that we're not having any issues that some other places are?
Well, I mean, first of all, there has been some concern because the distribution was changed by the federal government, where so as to how that was distributed changed somewhat. But we've looked at it. We're managing it very well. And we talked about it before coming in here. There's not any shortage of supply. We have adequate antibodies there, and we will make sure they get out conveniently to everybody that needs it. Dr. Merrill, do you have anything else there?
No, that's great.
Okay.
Before the Pfizer vaccine, I know Dr. Romero talked about the possible eligibility of 5 to 11-year-olds. If that does get approved, would you consider any sort of mandate of vaccinations in schools for that age group? I know you said you'd consider that as a possibility or as a authority.
And the answer is no. I mean, we don't have a mandate for vaccination for those 12 and above. You know, whenever you look down the road in the schools, it all depends upon what the medical science is. It depends upon the seriousness of the virus. You have to make decisions based upon that knowledge at whatever point that comes in. But for the foreseeable future, under the law of Arkansas, there's not any mandate and will not be any mandate for those age groups.
Senator Key, or Secretary Key, excuse me. So on social media, I've seen anecdotal evidence of school districts no longer requiring masks. Do you have any update in terms of what the numbers are statewide?
No, we know the districts are having board meetings almost daily right now. What we are seeing is that districts are reconsidering. Many of them had 30-day temporary policies, and some are actively voting to end the mask policy, or they are allowing the 30-day policies to expire. Other districts, after they've been seeing their data, they've come back and they have implemented a mask policy. So we don't have numbers at this point of at the department of who has one in effect and who does not have one in effect. But we continue to monitor that.
Is there any question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had two questions. One question for Secretary Key regarding the COVID booklets that he talked about. Wanted to see if you could elaborate a little bit more on why this company was chosen, and if Governor Huckabee's relationship with this company, if that had any role at all with that decision. And had a non-COVID question for you. Wanted to ask you about special session plans. Where do things stand in terms of timing, and are you looking at any, what if any, non-tax cut legislation are you looking at for the call for that session?
Okay, we'll go to Secretary Key first.
So we were approached in April of last year that there was this type of publication had been developed and had already been distributed in some areas. I found out about Governor Huckabee's involvement just by Googling it, because I Googled the company to see. So it was neither a disqualifier nor was it we have to do this event either. It was a situation where we were looking at providing information. Think about where we were at this point in time in the COVID crisis. We had empty store shelves. We had lots of panic buying that was taking place. We had school children that were very scared, and we felt like we needed a family-friendly, kid-friendly publication in addition to the work we were doing with UAMS, Health Department, Children's Hospital on creating very adult-friendly publications, teacher-friendly publications, so a multi-pronged approach. That was what we were looking at as we went into evaluating whether we wanted to do this or not, and we knew that the beginning of the school would be a very good time for us to distribute this type of information to the children across the state.
And on the second point, Andrew, there's really not any additional news. As you know, they're going to have the extended regular session for redistricting, and then we're going to have anticipated a special session that I will call primarily to look at tax cuts. And the date of that has not been set. That has not been determined because we do not have a complete consensus yet on exactly the approach that we want to take. In reference to other items that might be included, I do know of a couple of items. I could not recite what those are to you. There are some technical corrections, and we're going to try to keep that to a minimal list, but there always arise some technical correction that needs to be made following a very busy general session, but that remains to be determined. Next question.
Hi, Governor. This is Samantha with KNWA. I also have two questions. My first one is, we're talking about vaccines for younger kids potentially becoming available. Are there any discussions so far about coordinated efforts to host vaccine clinics once those become available? And then my second one is just simply, is there any update on Afghan refugees coming to Arkansas?
What's the last part?
Is there any update on the Afghan refugees coming to Arkansas?
Yeah. Thank you. You know, in reference to the if it is approved for the younger age, then as it has been our custom, we will have clinics out there for parents who make the decision that that is the right thing for their children. And so it really depends upon the science and approval as to how that will be set up and determined for the future. In terms of the Afghan refugees, there's not any new news in terms of a specific time frame that they will start coming, other than probably the first week in October is what we anticipate. But I don't have any more news other than that. The number is still allocated 98, approximately 49 in Northwest Arkansas, about 49 here in Central Arkansas. Catholic Charities of Little Rock is is the nonprofit agencies that are assisting in that. And then in Northwest Arkansas, it's Canopy of Northwest Arkansas. And so we're communicating with them, but at this point, there's not any additional information.
The cases have been going down, but also the vaccinations have been going down. Are you concerned about that, and do you have any plans to try to turn that around?
Well, that's a very, very important message. And what we've seen is that, you know, our vaccinations went to a lower level. You know, I started doing our community town hall meetings and conversations, and then the risk increased as well. So you saw the vaccinations go up dramatically. We had some very, very high days that we were thrilled with. Now it seems to be settling around 7,000, and some days down, some days up. But concern is not the right word, but I hope that we can keep the focus on the vaccines, because while we're seeing us going down, if you look at the UAMS projections most recently, they talked about what's going to happen in October and November and the winter, and what's happened in the UK and other countries, that you see it go down and you might see it come back up. The best assurance that we can keep it down would be increasing that vaccination rate even to a higher extent that prepares us for the winter. And so I hope that we can keep the focus on that. I'm going to do everything I can to continue that effort, because I do believe that is long-term the way we can get down and keep them down. With that, I think that we're good today. Thank you all for being here, and y'all have a good afternoon.